ELA practice exam. This part of the exam aims to test your ability to listen to an interview and answer questions at the same time. You're going to listen to an interview about asthma. After the interview, you'll have 5 minutes to check your answers. You'll have 3 minutes to read the questions before the interview begins. Now, listen. Good morning. With the approach of spring and summer, every year we get increasing complaints about allergies. This is also a time when a lot of asthma sufferers start complaining more about their condition. Today we have Dr. Ashton Patel, who's a lung specialist. Dr. Patel is going to talk about adult onset asthma. In other words, asthma that starts in adulthood. Who gets it? And how to manage it. Dr. Patel, can we please start with what asthma is?
Certainly. Speaking in medical terms, asthma is a chronic condition that occurs when the main air passages of your lungs become inflamed. To be more specific, when the air passages of your lungs, the bronchial tubes, become inflamed, the muscles of the bronchial walls tighten. And at the same time, extra mucus is produced. And as a result of this tightening and extra mucus production, your airways become narrow. Mm-hmm. Now, what can this lead to? Well, this can lead to everything from minor breathlessness to severe difficulty in breathing.
I see. But how different is the adult onset asthma than the asthma that starts in your childhood?
Well, adult onset asthma generally refers to the onset of asthma for the first time in someone of middle age or older. And the usual symptoms of asthma are generally present in adult onset asthma as well. To name a few of these symptoms, breathlessness to begin with, as I said, and I mean varying degrees of breathlessness. Secondly, wheezing, which is spelt W-H-E-E-Z-I-N-G.
Mm-hmm.
Or in other words, difficulty in breathing. And, mm-hmm. And a final symptom is a productive cough. However, there are some features that make adult onset asthma different to that seen in the younger age group.
Mm. Just to interrupt here briefly, Dr. Patel, does adult onset asthma happen due to smoking?
No. Tobacco smoking causes either chronic bronchitis or emphysema. These conditions, I mean bronchitis and emphysema, also cause breathlessness, coughing, and sometimes wheezing, which are the symptoms of asthma. Therefore, doctors cannot always be precise about whether someone who has smoked simply has a smoking-related illness or adult onset asthma, because because of the similarity of the symptoms.
Mm, I see. So, going back to why adult onset asthma happens, why does it happen then?
Well, to be perfectly honest, the real cause of asthma, childhood or adult onset, remains uncertain. We do not really understand why symptoms develop at a certain age or why they might disappear.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, childhood asthma persists throughout adult life. In other cases, childhood asthma may disappear for many years but return as adult onset asthma.
Mm, that's very interesting. Well then, who actually gets adult onset asthma?
Well, I can give you some statistics from the USA. For example, it's estimated that up to 8% of Americans above the age of 45 may have asthma. Now, many of these adults, I mean up to 4%, have a history of childhood asthma.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that some of them had it when they were children. It disappeared for a while and then reappeared in adulthood. However, the rest, the remaining 4%, get asthma for unexplained reasons. Having said that, though, we know one thing for sure, that adult onset asthma can be aggravated by trigger factors similar to those in childhood asthma. And here I think I should go over some of those trigger factors so that we can warn the listeners about
them. Yes, yes, let's please do. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first trigger factor you should avoid is dust, since dust can irritate the nose, throat, and the lungs as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think you're suffering from asthma, it's best to avoid dusty occupations such as baking, woodwork, mining, that kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Okay.
Another common trigger are the allergens. Now, some indoor allergens sources, such as cats, feather bedding, molds on walls, or dust, aggravate allergic diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Other allergens, such as household dust mite, are more difficult to avoid, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, many indoor allergens are avoidable, and every effort should be made to keep the home or workplace as free of asthma trigger factors as possible.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Okay, another trigger factor are fumes and strong odours, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might be thinking, what kind of fumes and odours can be so asthma triggering inside my house?
Right.
But domestic items such as spray cans are an excellent example of this. So any product that comes in a spray can must be minimized by using alternative products.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Infections. Colds, for example, are the infections that most commonly aggravate asthma. And that cannot be easily prevented,
mm-hmm.
obviously. Unfortunately, many asthma patients are under the impression that by getting an influenza shot, they can prevent asthma attacks. But influenza vaccination will not prevent most ordinary colds. So make sure you take good care of yourself and try to avoid getting a cold.
Yes, we should all remember that. Anything else?
Okay, well, another danger that many sufferers are not aware of is the fact that certain medicines can trigger asthma. For example, beta blockers. Now, by beta blockers, I mean the type of medicine used for treating high blood pressure and associated with, it's sort of associated with angina and glaucoma.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they should not be used with asthma. They reliably aggravate the condition, and harmless as they may seem, aspirin and pain relievers can also aggravate asthma.
That's also very interesting. Well, is it also true that certain foods or stress can trigger asthma?
Yes, some foods can. Occasionally adults are sensitive to foods such as nuts or seafoods. Some people are sensitive to food additives used in preservatives in foods and drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to watch out for those too. However, contrary to what many people believe, milk or dairy products are not really a big danger, as they rarely trigger asthma.
Oh, that's good to know. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and as for stress, well, stress does not cause asthma, but it definitely worsens asthma symptoms. So if you have asthma, you may need to help with long-term stress management strategies.
Now, Dr. Patel, if you get asthma as an adult, does it stay with you for the rest of your life? As far as I know, childhood asthma can actually go away after a certain age. Is that the same with adult onset asthma?
Well, in contrast to childhood asthma, adult onset asthma is more commonly persistent and permanent. Therefore, medication is often needed continuously to help keep adult onset asthma under control.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, usually you'll have the disease the rest of your life, but you can keep its interference with your life to a minimum by paying attention to two things, proper education and proper medication. In other words, learn what you need to do well and make sure you have the needed medication with you at all times.
I see. That's an important point as well. Is asthma treatment for adults the same as it is for children?
Yes, the main principles are pretty much the same. The key issue is to maintain best lung function at all times. Now, because adult onset asthma more often causes persistent symptoms, preventative medicine is more commonly prescribed. Most doctors agree that preventative medicine is the best cure, and this is particularly important to prevent permanent impairment of lung capacity.
Mm-hmm, I see. And what can people do to ward off asthma attacks?
First, you need to learn about the disease and take your medication as directed. Preventing attacks is key to improving your quality of life and also minimizing your risk of hospitalization or even death. If you feel an attack coming on, confirm that your airways are narrowing, and to what extent by using a... you can confirm your airways are narrowing and to what extent by using a peak flow meter.
Oh, wait, what is a peak flow meter?
Well, a peak flow meter is one of the simplest lung function tests. It's a small handheld device that you breathe into to measure the rate at which you can force air out of your lungs. Similar to this device, the police use it to find out whether you've been drinking and driving.
Oh, I see. But how do you use it?
Well, what you do is you breathe in as deeply as you can, and then you blow into the device as hard and as fast as possible. Now, if you're diagnosed with asthma, you can use a peak flow meter at home to help monitor your condition. So you can track your breathing function at work and at home.
Mm-hmm.
And if the peak flow meter shows that your airways are narrowing, then you can do two things to alleviate the symptoms. First one is that you can take the necessary precaution by using a bronchodilator. Now, bronchodilators are the medications which relax the muscles in your airways and let more air move in and out. The second thing that you can do is to take anti-inflammatory drugs. Now, like I said at the beginning, asthma is simply a swelling in your airways, and anti-inflammatory drugs help prevent your airways from swelling up.
Anti-inflammatory drugs. Yes, that's very useful advice too. Thank you, Dr. Patel. Anything else? Do you have any other last piece of advice?
Well, asthma sufferers must remember that managing asthma requires a long-term partnership with your doctor, not just reaction to flare-ups.
Right.
Or to unexpected moments.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be educated and also empowered. So create an action plan with your doctor in advance. What I mean by an action plan is a written set of instructions that tells you what to do when your asthma control gets into a certain zone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In this way, you'll determine this zone by using the peak flow meter that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use this to assess your symptoms. That way, you'll know how much medicine to take and when you need to call a doctor.
Wow. This has been very interesting and informative. Thank you very much, Dr. Patel.
Thank you.